Find his work for the Register Guard on the front page of the sports section on Twitter at AustinMeekRG. Austin Meek, how are you, sir?
Okay, Steve, I didn't hear all of that intro, but based on what I heard, I think you and I might be sharing a room at the psych ward by the time this coaching search is over.
Do people contact you and say, have you heard about Chip Kelly? You think Kelly's coming back? Are they going to get Chip Kelly? Can we get Chip Kelly back? Do you get peppered with that as often as we do?
Oh, if there's a rumor out there, somebody's asked me about it. I've been asked about Chip probably 3 or 4 times already today. The thing is, I don't know what to tell people anymore. It sounds crazy to me, but I've lost all touch with reality, I think. You know, I can't rule anything out. It seems completely nuts, but I have no feel for what's real and what's not anymore.
Are you becoming one of those people who finds the tail number of private jets and like tries to find out flight log information?
Oh, we were there like a week ago. We were staking out the airport trying to catch Rob Mullins coming back from the playoff meetings last week before Mark Helfrich was fired. So we're one step ahead of you on that.
So last week you and I talked. Mark Helfrich was still coach. Is it me or does that seem like a month ago? Seriously.
It does. I was going to say more like a year ago. But yeah.
Let's rewind. We talked last Tuesday. You hung up the phone. You got on with your life. Beyond what you thought would happen or what the right thing is, what was your level of surprise, if any, that they actually pulled the trigger and fired Coach Helfrich?
Very little surprise on my part. I felt like it was going that direction. After the Civil War, I had a pretty strong feeling that it was going to happen. The delay in there introduced, I guess, a little bit of doubt for me because I wasn't really sure what the thinking was in those 3 days between the Civil War and the announcement, but I wasn't surprised. I felt like as the season went on and Rob Mullins continued to stay silent about Mark Helfrich and refused to give him any kind of vote of confidence, I just felt like the signs really pointed toward making a change.
What you wrote about the day after, so 6 days ago, with Helf and Oregon football, about it was a perfect match, in-state guy, and we know the magic of hindsight. What were some of the items you listed from following in Chip Kelly's footsteps to, you know, his youth to what you see now as maybe, looking back, any red flags to see in hindsight when Helfrich was hired?
Well, there were a lot of signs pointing toward Mark Helfrich being the right person for that job. You know, he was a local guy. He was kind of the best of both worlds. You know, he came from the Chip Kelly mold. He knew the scheme, you know, ran the same offense. And so he seemed like the right guy to continue that. But he also was, you know, an in-state guy, a local guy who you thought would stay for a long time. And that was the thing with Chip, was everybody realized Chip was not going to be here for a long time, but Mark Helfrich seemed like the kind of coach who could do that. And I think it was such a natural fit, especially with Oregon's tradition of promoting from within, that maybe at the time people overlooked some of the reasons why it might not work. And those became more apparent over time, and I really thought, you know, the biggest factor was as Oregon got further away from the Chip Kelly identity, there wasn't really anything that Mark Helfrich brought to the table to take the place of that. You know, there wasn't anything that he really brought to give his own identity to the program apart from what Chip did. So I still think, you know, even with all that said, it's hard to say it was a mistake to promote Mark Helfrich, because anybody who watched that 2014 season, you know, they ought to feel grateful to Mark Helfrich, any Ducks fan who enjoyed that ride, because I don't think that would have happened without Mark Helfrich.
No, that's an excellent point. We're talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. Let's move to some names. since we're stepping outside reality. So Nick Saban, no. Willie Taggart turns 41 next year. Another young up-and-comer, was at Stanford 3 years under Harbaugh. Played the double game at South. He went from 2 to 4 to 8 wins, 10 this year. From what you've researched, who you've spoken to, what do you know about this guy?
Well, I'll put Willie Taggart and Brian Harsin of Boise State sort of in the same category. I think both of those guys are good coaches, and I think either one of them could be a good hire for Oregon. The problem now is that it's been out there for almost a week that these two guys have interviewed and been on the radar. So if Oregon were to hire either one of those guys now, it would really look like a fallback plan, wouldn't it? I mean, it's pretty obvious that in the time since Oregon interviewed Willie Taggart, they've been out talking to a whole bunch of other people. So if you come back to Willie Taggart after people have spent all week talking about P.J. Fleck and Chip Kelly, it's going to be a little bit underwhelming. And that doesn't mean he's a bad coach or would be the wrong guy. He could be the perfect coach for Oregon. I'm not going to discount that fact. But his resume, if you look at it, you know, the good part is he's built up two programs and left two programs in better shape than he found them. But the downside is you take away this year when he's 10-2 at South Florida, there's not any real, you know, big time success on that resume. It's a lot of, you know, gradual building to get above 500, but no real, until this season, no real big breakthrough success.
Yeah, and not to mention it was also Western Kentucky the first time around. Brian Harsin raises my skeptical brow, who, you know, he took over probably the most solid non-Power 5 program in Boise State. He was at Texas for 2 years as a co-coordinator, and his success was so-so at best. I mean, I don't know much about him from the people you've talked to. Why would he be logical?
Well, you know, I'll tell you why he might not be logical. And that is, if you look at his 3 years at Boise, looks an awful lot like Mark Helfrich's first 3 years at Oregon, you know? Took over for a really successful coach and kept the program at a pretty high level, but not quite as high as they've been used to. And so I would be wary for that reason. You know, he was basically following up on what Chris Peterson built there. And I think it would be a mistake for Oregon to look at Chris Peterson winning at Washington, especially after having the chance to make a run at Chris Peterson the first time. And now you go back and hire the Boise coach when, you know, the success under Brian Harsin has not quite been to the level that it was under Chris Peterson. If I were Oregon, I would really think twice about doing that.
Is it possible, and we talk about the bubble, and when you live in it, you don't have a accurate view, or it's clouded, or I guess in this case, maybe seen through yellow and green lenses, that for all Oregon achieved, a lot of people are saying they only really reached a high level for X amount of years, and perhaps people in the administration, athletic director, maybe some alum, view Oregon as a lot more and a lot more desirable than maybe the rest of the country?
Well, this is a great and timely question because I'm actually working on a column right now that sort of tackles that topic. I talked to somebody today, kind of an insider who has been a consultant on some coaching searches, and just asked, you know, where do you put the Oregon job nationally? And he described it as a top 25 to top 30 job in the country. And I think that's pretty accurate. If you ask some Oregon fans, you probably get some that tell you it's a top 10 job, that it's up there with Alabama and Michigan and Ohio State, but it's clearly
not.
You know, there are some disadvantages associated with the Oregon job that you don't see at some of those traditional powerhouses. And I think what we saw reported this morning with Matt Rhule and Temple taking the Baylor job when Oregon apparently had some interest, you know, I think that sort of speaks to that point, that it's just not a slam dunk that anybody that Oregon wants to offer this job to is going to take it.
Safe to say the press conference a week ago Sunday kind of seems surreal, knowing a change was coming. You know, they sent out Mark Helfrich to recruit, to meet the press. Would it be safe to say that are you on board with myself and a lot of others and not really handled properly and left kind of a sour taste?
Yeah, I thought that could have been handled better. I guess I don't feel like the staff that was there necessarily got a raw deal. I mean, I do feel on a personal level for a lot of those guys that I'd gotten to know that had been there a long time, and I hope that some of them can end up staying because they've been a big part of what Oregon's all about. But, you know, when you've been at a place for 30-some years, as some of those guys had, you're kind of living on borrowed time in a way anyway, you know. But I do think it could have been handled better just from the standpoint of the communication there. And, you know, letting those guys know that even though we're making a change, you know, we appreciate what a big part you played in really putting Oregon on the national map. So I did feel like it was handled in kind of a clumsy way, that even if that's what you wanted to do, if you wanted to make a change and completely start fresh, I think there was a way Oregon could have done it that was a little bit more delicate.
Clumsy. That's a really good word. That's probably the most accurate description I've heard yet. Let's close Thanks. With something that happened Sunday. I don't think there was any controversy because I think the committee nailed it. Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Washington played for the national title. Anything stick out, right, wrong, and different? If they made you the king of college football, would you have gone in a different direction? What'd you think about what the selection committee revealed Sunday morning?
No, I thought the committee got it right. I thought for all the talk of, you know, potential controversy this year, I thought it was pretty clear-cut and not even that controversial. I know a lot of Penn State fans felt like they really had an argument to be in there, and it is, you know, it is a break from the previous 2 years because you do have a team in there that did not win its conference over the team that did win its conference and beat the other team straight up in Penn State and Ohio State, but I think the committee rightfully recognized that, you know, the divisional setup of a lot of these conferences just creates some weird outcomes in terms of the conference title games. Nobody thought Wisconsin and Penn State were the two best teams in the Big Ten.
Yep.
Nobody thought that. But that was the two teams that played in the conference championship game. But to its credit, the committee saw past that and realized that, yeah, Ohio State was the best team in the Big Ten this year, even though they didn't win the Big Ten title. I thought they deserved to be in, and I was glad to see Washington get in there. I was a little bit worried that, you know, the West Coast team might end up getting left out. But I thought the committee got it right.
Yep. Well, you know, if you do standings among the Power Five, it would have been Alabama, then a three-way tie for second, third, and fourth, and everybody else had two losses or more. I can't get past that. It's like, have a better record. That's got to count for something.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Registerguard.com, at Austin Meek RG on Twitter. Always look forward to it. Appreciate the insight. Look forward to what you got coming up next if this coaching search ever gets settled. Thanks for the time, as always, Austin.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
All right. Take it easy.